So it's all happening 2 weeks in, first time preaching. Would you believe it is the first time my parents are also hearing me preach live? So they've listened to me online, but not live. My dad has been preaching for a long time and retired. So then he wrote a book at his retirement 2014 saying, "Retire to retire." So there's a picture of somebody putting on fresh tires to kind of do something different. So ask him about his story of what that means. But if you need to get to know a little bit of my story and my history, there's a little bit that you can find in that book. So he's got, I think, about 5 or 6 copies at a fiver. I can give this one to anybody who might like it for free. Just run and grab it. It's here. Come get it. You got to run and get it. Run and get. Okay. So this morning, I was trying to find a title, and I've gone with, because I enjoyed watching the football more on BBC than I did on ITV. Yeah, I kind of went with the BBC and W, trying to squeeze it in somehow. So if you think of BBC Wales, that helps. But it's BC, BW. Okay, so the question is, how do we live in light of the resurrection? The response is, be community, be witnesses. So I'll ask the question and you give me the answer. How do we live in light of the resurrection? We're called to be
community.
And to be
witnesses.
Called to be community and to be witnesses. If you want to follow the two passages, do keep your Bibles open and that will be fine. Acts 4, 32 to 35 was the first one, and the second one was John 20 from 19. So all the believers were of one heart and one mind. Looking at the first one from Acts, we are called to be community. They owned lots of things, but they shared. They were not individualistic and did not claim their possessions were their own private property. Such sharing is another way of witnessing, since it portrays the oneness that Jesus portrayed for us with his followers. In John 17:21, it also demonstrates that Jesus has truly come from the Father. Jesus prays at the end, and he says, "Lord, I pray that they may be one as we are one." In fact, I've got that picture on my stall, the picture of the Trinity there, just a reminder that the oneness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is that oneness that he desires us to have as well. That fellowship and community is his heart for us. And so we see that the early church, for them, the resurrection is more than just a creedal statement, more than a statement that they read and believed. It was that force, that creative force of community and fellowship. A reminder of that old Greek word koinonia, which means fellowship, fellowship with God and together. How did Christ's resurrection motivate such a unified, generous community, you may ask? God did not raise Jesus from any death but death on the cross. And that signified that death on the cross, that Jesus gave up himself completely, ultimately. He gave up everything that he was and had. So he came down from heaven with so much, but on the cross he gives up all of that, that emptying of himself for us. And at that point, he's totally reliant on the Father. And it's as though that's a picture for us as well, and for the early church, certainly then, to be, yes, reliant on one another, but not just reliant on one another, because the source of what they had in sharing with each other was from God. And so God brings fresh resurrection life to Jesus. Losing his life, he saves it. Acts 4:35, they gave up all that they were and had into God's hands. So the question is, does the evidence of the Messiah, the evidence of the crucifixion and the resurrection, does it have a bearing on how they lived, on how we live? The answer is yes, it does. The believers under the leadership and guidance of the apostles live life in response to the gospel. They continued to live together in fellowship, but look at what their motivation was. So the reason why they were sharing with each other was not just because they loved, yes, they loved one another, but it was that resurrection, the evidence of seeing Jesus physically, witnessing his birth, his life, his death, but his resurrection. And having seen all that, that's where Peter then comes from, having seen this, and he says, I can't hold this. I have to witness, I have to testify, I have to tell others about what I have seen. And then that is how the church is then formed. And that's the motivation of while at Wycliffe, in Oxford, of course, you have to do a bit of reading. So I did a little bit of reading, or a lot of reading. But the book that I loved to read was Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he says this. He says, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. Whether it be a brief single encounter or the daily fellowship of years, Christian community is only this. We belong to one another only through Jesus and in Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? It means first that a Christian needs others because of Jesus Christ. It means second that a Christian comes to others only through Jesus Christ. And it means third that in Jesus Christ we have been chosen from eternity, accepted in time, and united for eternity. And so we see that in Acts, the believers continued to testify to the resurrection, which was their real motivation. So the second, how shall we live in light of the resurrection? We are called to be witnesses. In John's Gospel, in our second reading, Jesus, before his death, promised his disciples that he would die and rise again. They obviously had mixed thoughts about this, including concerns and fears, but they always knew that they could count on God's word. Jesus knows us, and he knows that sometimes we also need some motivation and encouragement to believe. It says at the end of John's Gospel that Jesus performed so many signs and wonders and miracles. So many, they could not be contained in the Bible. But those few that are recorded there, the reason why they're put there is so that people who read them, we who read them, will believe. So the purpose for them is not just for them to be entertaining, but so that we who read will believe. Now, I know there have been lots of debates. Do miracles still happen? Did they just happen then? Do they still happen now? And I know that can be a difficult question, and again, difficult to find answers for, especially if one has prayed, and I've been through this myself, when you've prayed and asked God for something, and sometimes it hasn't been answered in the way that you expect. It's not always physical healing, but miracles do happen. And my answer is, ask somebody who has experienced a miracle. Ask somebody who has experienced that to tell you their story. And that's what's happening here in terms of witnessing. These apostles, these disciples are sharing what they have seen. Jesus appears to Mary. She sees for herself. What does she do? She doesn't stop there. She runs and shares that good news with the other disciples. Those disciples then are gathered together. They're in a place, in a time of fear. There's persecution going on around. And sometimes, as we think of witnessing, it might be easier in some contexts than other contexts. Some people, maybe like those disciples, might have been in hiding, not sure whether it's safe to come out and be open about the gospel. And Jesus appears to them there. He comes through that door or the doors that were locked. He appears to them almost in a way, revealing himself in ways that they would recognize him. He says, "Peace be with you." Maybe at that point they're thinking, "We've heard this before. Is this him?" He shows them his hands. Their eyes are slowly starting to be open. What else does he do? He then breathes the Holy Spirit on them.
He empowers them and then he sends them out. But in that moment, Jesus reveals himself to them. So Mary has seen and gone and witnessed. After they see and that point of revelation of knowing, yes, this must be him, they say, my Lord. They recognize him as Lord. And after that encounter of them together, they don't stop there. They go out and quickly go and share with Thomas, because Thomas wasn't gathered with them. He was missing in action. So they find Thomas and share with Thomas. Now, Thomas's experience was a bit interesting because I think that's an experience of many of us. So what does Thomas do? Does he believe right away? Have you ever doubted anything? So if I share a story, have you ever questioned and thought, no, show me the evidence. Has anyone ever had that experience of, show me the evidence, I must see for myself? Yeah? So if somebody said, like this morning, well, our toilets are not really working at the back there. We've got new ones set out. If you've been coming to this church for over 10 years, let me see your hand. Anybody? Yeah, over 10, 15. So you've been around, you know how things work. So if somebody says, those toilets are not working, you're thinking, okay, I believe you, Steve, but I might just sneak out and go and check for my, just to be sure. And one of us did that this morning, we won't say who. But Thomas is in that place. He says, I want to see for myself. Our daughter Hannah is 4, and her latest new word is, can you guess, anybody? No, Noah is at 2. Say it louder.
Why?
Why? Exactly. Why? And sometimes that's easier to answer, and then you get asked why again. And then you have to stop and think, you know, sometimes you'll answer maybe when they're 2.5 or 3, you might just give an easy answer. But then she's asking, why? But why? But why? But why? But why? So I thought that ended at 4, but somebody else told me that her 6-year-old also asks why. So I thought, encouraging for us, Rachel, isn't it? So that why keeps going, and for others who are in that place. But it's a good thing. It could be irritating. Jesus had this with his disciples for a while. Why? So maybe Jesus would say, hang on, perhaps Steve has had this with his curates. Well, I showed you that yesterday. Why are you asking me this again today? And then they start again, but why? And they say, okay. But he had the patience to share with them and teach them again. So what does Jesus do? He appears to the disciples again. So he's already done this, but for Thomas's sake, okay, this is the grace and compassion and love that Jesus has. He does it again. They are gathered together, and Jesus reveals himself to them again. And when Thomas sees, he says, I don't want to just see, I want to touch. And when he does that, he then believes. My Lord and my God is his response. What happens after that? It doesn't stop there. They're on fire and they go out and share that good news. So the question at the beginning was, how do we live in light of the resurrection? We are called to be community and to be witnesses. Being community might be easier or more comfortable. Is anybody part of a connect group or cell group or house group or home group or fellowship group? I don't know, all those, yeah? Does anybody have friends and like to sit down and eat together? Okay. Does anybody like to just be on their own and enjoy their own company? And that's wonderful. That's fine. Yeah. And Jesus did that as well. So he calls us to be community. It doesn't mean be gathered and surrounded by lots of people all the time. It means have that connection with people, because he calls us to love God and to love one another, to have that connection with people. But what do we do after that? We don't stop there. We've been singing in worship that we are called to be those who go out, to go out with the good news that we've received. When Jesus meets them, so he's making two clear points in John's gospel, doesn't he? So he meets them when they're gathered. Yeah? He could have revealed himself to Thomas on his own, but what does he do? He waits for them to be gathered again. So he's making a point that it's important that their community, But then he sends them out. And he's instructing them based on those words in Isaiah 61 to go out into the world and make disciples, to proclaim the good news, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring freedom to the captives, to bind up wounds of those who are brokenhearted, to go through all those practical, everyday, real things. And we are seeing in Acts, the earlier reading, that they're starting to do that, meeting real needs, the spiritual needs, yes, but real needs as well. Last week, as I finish, last week was amazing for me to see, to witness the fate. That community fate at Cleveland Park was amazing. Why? Because I think the way I read this is that, yes, some people perhaps feel better than others as evangelists, you know, the various callings, and you might feel, I'm an evangelist. It's easier for me to just find somebody on the street and tell them to become a Christian or share my faith. For others, that might be more difficult. But I think when the church, when the people of God, whether as an individual or all together, when the people of God live in obedience to God and are faithful and are functioning as the church should, then that in itself is a starting point of being a witness to others. So for me, that was my reflection to Steve. I said, seeing the church come together, setting up, carrying on their functioning, keeping the event running, and clearing up at the end. Imagine somebody who isn't a Christian, who hasn't known of St. Stephen's at all, walking into that park and watching this from a side. They might think, that's amazing. I want some of what these guys have got. And people like Nicodemus later, as you read, might then say, how can I become a Christian? Or how can I be like one of you? How can I do what you're doing? Jesus finishes by breathing the Holy Spirit on them as a reminder that whatever we do, whether it's leading worship, whether it's doing the sound, whether it's helping set up the tents or going out and speaking on the streets or at our places of work, whatever we do, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the energizer. He is the enabler. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who reminds us of those things that we forget, that we haven't done, that we should do. And so I thought as we finish, it would be good for perhaps Steve and I to just pray for us. If we could stand, and Mark, if you could perhaps play as we, just so we can wait on God. This is sometimes easier for some of us to go out and be community and be witnesses. Perhaps we've been Christians for a long time and we know exactly what we're doing. For others, it's more daunting. And it doesn't matter what stage of our faith or how much we've been doing ministry, we every day, every moment, every minute need the Holy Spirit to enable us and energize us.